New York City is home to 1 million Asian Americans. That is greater than the combined totals of San Francisco and Los Angeles. Combined, okay? Fun fact, the majority of Asians living in New York live in Queens. Fun fact, right? 656,583, and this was a few years ago, right? It's probably increased since then. Residents of Queens County identify as Asians, or 27.3% of the entire Queens population. This makes the Asian share of the population of Queens County larger than the Asian share of the population of New York City, which has a population of 9.5 Asian. Of the 62 counties in New York, Queens County is ranked number one, numero uno, in terms of Asian residents as a share of the population. Give yourselves a big hand. Every human being is shaped by the culture in which they were raised. Every human, that's just part of us being human. We're shaped by the culture in which we are raised. So if you're raised in the Western Hemisphere, you're going to be shaped by that culture. If you're raised in the Eastern Hemisphere, you're going to be shaped by that culture. Regardless of what culture has shaped you, we are all human beings. Give yourself a hand for being human. We're all human beings. We may look different. We may talk different. We may have different foods, but we are all human beings. The Apostle Paul said, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. The Apostle Paul said, I do all this for the sake of the gospel. We want to become all things to all people. And in keeping with the New Year, the Lunar New Year tradition, it is customary to eat dumplings. And I really wanted everyone to have a dumpling today, or maybe two. But I was told that it is time consuming and expensive. But I insist on having a dumpling. And so, in keeping with New Year tradition, I purchased some dumplings this morning. And you're going to have to eat the dumpling vicariously through me. Some sauce. Now, according to tradition, the more dumplings you eat, the more wealth you will acquire. I will only eat one dumpling today. I'm not very good at this, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try, bro. That's good. Doesn't that taste good? That was good. I love the sauce. It's spicy. I'm looking forward to my financial blessings this year. I want to thank our Lunar New Year team, Oak, Peggy, Jackie Veloso, Maria Lourdes, Jerry and Coco, and Don and Siong. They helped us put all this together. Very, very special. I want to give you guys a big hand. I want to share a passage here in Revelation 5. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve your God, and they will reign on the earth. Revelation 5, verses 9 to 10. The Apostle John said that they were singing a new song in the heavenly realms. The work that Christ is doing is he is bringing people from every tribe, from every language, from every nation to be a part of his family. We want to know that song that is sung in the heavenly realms. We want to sing all its four parts, bass, alto, tenor, and soprano. We want to learn all its verses. We want to sing that song here in the Queens region of the New York City Church of Christ. And we want to live out that song while we are here on this earth. We want to be a church with persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. That's why we're celebrating the Lunar New Year, the year of the snake. In some Asian cultures, the snake is celebrated and revered. This year, the year of the snake, is a year that many are looking forward to be a time of positive transformation. Because as the snake sheds its skin, so many in the Asian culture are looking forward to letting go of the past. The snake is also associated with intelligence, resilience, and love. And so one can tell that in the Eastern tradition and culture, they have a very different view of the snake. In the Western world, our view has been shaped by the scriptures. Do you know that the very first book that was printed on the Gutenberg Press in 1455 was the Bible? It's the earliest major book printed in Europe, and it marked the start of the Gutenberg Revolution and the age of printed books in the Western world. In our world, in the Western world, our view of the snake has been heavily influenced by the Bible. In Genesis chapter 3, it reads, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, you may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And so the problem with humankind, based on the biblical narrative, was the snake. Crafty and deceptive. And then in Revelations, that was the beginning of the Bible. At the end of the Bible, the last book of the Bible, in Revelations 20, it says, I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in its hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who was the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So from the beginning of the Bible to the very end, what do we see? Satan is actually characterized as a serpent. So in our Western world, we think snake, and we go, ah, no, no snake. Because this is what we have been exposed to. But the view of the snake is not all negative in the scriptures. And today we're going to take a look at where Jesus himself paints a positive picture of a snake. We'll read John 3, verses 1 to 21. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. That's John 3, verses 1 to 21. And in these verses, Jesus actually referred to an incident that took place in the Israelites' journey to the Promised Land. He said it right there, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Now, I know there are people who may have maybe seeing this for the first time, but I feel like whenever you stumble on a passage like this, it is always good to know what Jesus is referring to. Like, what was the incident that Jesus is referring to where Moses lifted up the snake? And I know many people here have read the scriptures and might be familiar. Can I just see by a show of hands, how many of you are familiar with what Jesus is talking about? Just see by a show of hands. Okay, that's cool, okay. So, in keeping with the Lunar New Year tradition, I am going to offer a cash prize. I'm going to offer a cash prize. There's $25 cash in here to the first person who will come to this stage and tell me what incident Jesus was referring to. Just if you would like to come to the stage, just, okay, come on up, Lucette. Let's give Lucette a hand. Go, Lucette. Now you have to tell me what the incident is, okay? Come on up. You don't need your Bible because it's in your head. Come on up. What's the incident? Oh, before I say this, I forbid my wife and Kirk and Sherilyn Spencer from participating in this contest. Go ahead, Lucette.
Oh.
Yeah, tell us what it is.
Okay. So at one point during their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, there was a plague amongst the people, and God instructed Moses to take a snake and put it up on a pole, and anyone who looked up at the snake would be healed, and then the plague was stopped.
Let's give Lucette a hand. There you go. You got your $25 cash gift. That was good. That was good. That was very bold of her to actually raise her hand and come up stage. So let's give her a big hand. Amen. Lucette, that is yours. That money is yours. Do not let Derek. Don't let Derek ask you to split it down the middle, talking about the 2R1. Talking about the 2R1, okay? That money is yours. You do with it as you wish. I'm just joking with you, Derek. Yeah. Dumpling, right. Go buy some dumpling with that. That's good. All right, so we're going to take a look at what Jesus was referring to. The actual scripture reference is Numbers chapter 21. The verses are 4-9, and the translation I'm going to read to you today is taken from the New American Bible. From Mount Or, they set out on the Red Sea to bypass the land of Edom. But with their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched fool. That is in the Bible. In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the peoples, that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on the pole. And if anyone who has been bitten looks at it, he will recover." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole. And whenever anyone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he recovered. And in this translation, it identifies a specific type of serpent, and it says it's a seraph serpent. And from my research, from my understanding, is that means that when a person was bitten by the serpent, there was a sort of burning sensation that they felt. So they weren't just bitten, but there was a burning sensation. So what happened was these people were angry about their hardships, but they spoke some poisonous words against Moses. And I think that there is something every person can learn from this incident. Words that come out of our mouths can be very destructive. They can actually be poisonous. So powerful is a reckless word that it can destroy people emotionally. And this fact about the power of words is all throughout the scriptures. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Those people in Israel spoke poisonous words against Moses. And in response, God sent poisonous snakes. But then as they repented of their sin, God gave them a way out. He took the very thing that poisoned them, and he said, make a bronze snake. He told Moses, make a bronze snake. And anyone who was bitten by one of those snakes, all they had to do was look at that snake. And Moses took a bronze, made a bronze snake, put it on a pole, and Moses went through the camp. And the only thing that people had to do if they were bitten was look at that snake, and they would be miraculously healed. And it is that incident that Jesus was referring to. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. I underscore what Jesus said, everyone who believes. Whether you are from the Western tradition or the Eastern tradition, everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. This is the greatest promise given to human beings. The promise of eternal life. Any person can claim that promise, but you must look to Jesus. And the incident that Jesus was referring to was when he was lifted up on the cross. We have to look to Jesus, to what happened to him on the cross, to fully understand who he is. Luke 23, verse 33, when they came to the place called the skull, they crucified him there along with criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Now, you may read that, and it is remarkable that while he is being lifted up on the cross in pain and agony, the first words coming out his mouth, forgive them. The first words. You think about when someone hurts you. You think about when your spouse or your parent or somebody at work hurts you. Are these the first words that come out of your mouth? We want an apology. We want some groveling. We want a note. We want some money to be passed. I will not forgive you unless you apologize. Who apologized to Christ? Who said, sorry, Lord, I think we made a mistake? Nobody. But he willingly offers forgiveness. This is why we must look to the cross. Luke 23. Coming down to the end, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When he said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this man was a righteous man. Okay, let me explain to you who a centurion is. This man is a ruthless military commander of 100 people. That's a centurion. He is a ruthless military commander of 100 men, right? In terms of his level of compassion for human beings, it's probably negative 50. He doesn't care, right? Not only that, but he was not raised in the Jewish culture. He was a Gentile. Who is Jesus? Just another criminal. Jesus never sat down and spoke to him and taught him anything. The only interaction the centurion had with Jesus was he officiated his crucifixion. But there was something about Jesus that in the midst of his suffering, a hardened military commander, observed it and gave glory to God and said, this man was a righteous man. Why? Because he saw how Jesus suffered. And without any interchange of words, he had faith that this man who was hanging on this cross was a righteous man. Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Have you ever really examined what took place on the cross? Now, you may have heard, yeah, Jesus, yeah, he died, whatever. But have you really investigated this matter personally? Look to Jesus. Finally, look to Jesus. Because after he died, something really special happened. Luke 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, probably very similar to what Siong did today. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. Look to Jesus. Because as he is lifted up, and as we look to him, all who believe in him will have eternal life. He said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Thanks be to God. There are antidotes for snake poisoning. If you get bitten by a snake, you could run to emergency and they got something for you. But to this date, no scientist can offer an antidote to death. Jesus is the only one who presents himself as the antidote to death. So we encourage you who are celebrating the Lunar New Year to mark out some time this year to examine what happened on the cross. And as the snake transforms itself with the shedding of its skin, we believe that we also will be transformed and renewed as we look to the Savior, Jesus. Amen. Amen. At this time, we got Jack.